1 Kings 21, in the other hand. 2 Kings 9, in the other one. Genesis 3, in the other one. I appreciate that song. That's a special song to me. And I really appreciate it. Thank you for standing. Verse 27, Proverbs 26, verse 27. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein. And he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. 1 Kings 21, remember that verse. 1 Kings chapter 21. The Bible says this, it came to pass. After these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, the king of Samaria. Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard that I may have it, for a garden of herbs. Because it's near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. Father, I pray that you might help us this morning. I can't help but be moved in the depths of my soul in the singing of these men and the kindness and generosity and love of this church. And I thank you, God, for what you've done in this place and with these people. And we realize if there's any credit that goes anywhere, it all goes to thee. We'd ask now, God, that you might, through the power of the Holy Ghost, empower us to be able to teach this principle. God, that we might all be better than we were when we came in. Open our hearts to the leading of the Holy Ghost, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I'm glad my sister's here today with my brother-in-law. It's nice to know that they're still married after all these years. And I think it's because they made the right choice a long time ago. Amen. The right man, the right woman, come out the right way. Sometimes you kids get in too big a hurry, you think any man will do. Well, it won't. And sometimes you boys think any girl will do. It won't. Not if you want it to last any number of years. I want you to try to teach you a little principle here. Notice as we go on in 1 Kings 21, Ahab is now at home, and he's upset because he went to Naboth, and he's the king. And he figures, you know what, I'm in charge of things around here, and that place is real close to my ground. It touches up next to my property line, and I want that place. And I realize that Naboth is using it for a vineyard, but I want it for herbs, and I want to expand where I want to go. And Naboth said, no, I can't do that. I want you to watch what happens. What happens is that the Bible says in verse 5, but Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and he said, give me thy vineyard for money, or else I would please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered and said, I will not give it thee my vineyard. Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, dost thou not govern the kingdom of Israel? Aren't you the boss, big boy? Aren't you the one in charge? Who is he to tell you no? Notice he says, arise and eat bread and thine heart, let their heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. Now I want you to notice what happens. Jezebel begins immediately manipulating the people that are around her to get accomplished what she wants to get accomplished. Jezebel all of a sudden starts writing letters and starts getting individuals involved in her thing the same way that Tobiah did and the same way that the boys did over in the book of Nehemiah. What she did was is she said, listen, I'm going to fix it for you, because what happens is whenever an individual starts to try to manipulate you, they always involve other people in their plot. And what she's trying to do is, and you'll see this played out in just a little while, she's willing to do anything to get what she wants, and she's working behind the scenes to try to manipulate a situation. And what she's willing to do is actually tell a lie about Naboth and get all the people around her to tell a lie, to the point that Naboth is brought up. And the Bible says this in verse number 9, proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people, and then accuse him of blaspheming God, and then stone him. So it even has a spiritual ring to it. Here she is, wicked as all get out, Jezebel, a worshiper of Baal, Jezebel, a very wicked woman. How many daughters do you know that men name their daughters Jezebel? Very few mothers name their daughter Jezebel. You know why? Because it's equated with a very wicked woman. And why the reason I bring that up is to set this up so that you understand Jezebel will even use a biblical principle, you'll even use something that looks scriptural. Hey, let's bring him up in front of all the people, but let's make sure that when we do, let's make sure that it looks like he's doing something called blaspheming God. Understand, she has murder in mind all along. She has no intention of there being a fair trial. She has no intention of the truth coming out. Her intention is she's going to get what somebody's got, and she will manipulate anybody in order to get it. Are you with me? Amen. What she's saying here is she says, here, go ahead and have this mock trial and have him brought up there. I already know the outcome. He's going to be found guilty. And when he's found guilty, go ahead and stone him. And oh, while you're at it, you better go ahead and stone the rest of his family, because as a result of the inheritance being passed down from generation to generation to generation, if we don't stone them as soon as he's dead, they'll pass it on. I'll still be in the same predicament. So those innocent boys are brought up. And those innocent boys are stoned also. That sets up where we're fixing to go into 1 Kings chapter number 22. 1 Kings chapter 22, just turn the page. What begins to take place here is, as you know, Jehoshaphat, I tell you what, let's do. Let's go first of all to 2 Kings chapter 9. Let me show you the outcome, then we're going to back up. 2 Kings chapter number 9. Now, you know the end of that story if you've read your Bible at all, and you know that that story ends with Ahab getting that, he's able to go ahead and take over or get that vineyard. And then in 1 Kings 22, they have a big get-together there, and they're getting ready to go out and have this big war. And they bring in all the preachers by their own choosing, and they say to the prophets, can you tell us what's going to happen? And 400 of them tell the king exactly what the king wants to hear. There's two kings that are in that passage, and Jezebel has manipulated Ahab. And don't forget who Ahab's wife is. It's Jezebel. And now Ahab is trying to manipulate that other king in there. And that other king says, something about this don't feel right. They're just going along with everything that you're saying. They're just doing everything that you're saying. Hey, let's see if there's not somebody here that'll tell us what the Lord says. Amen. And Ahab says, well, there is a guy that's here, but I don't like him. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, I hate him. 1 Kings 22, I hate him. Because he never prophesieth good concerning me. Well, then you know what, Ahab? Maybe you need to change your ways. Maybe the reason he's not telling you anything good, he sounds like an independent Baptist, amen? Never prophesies good. You ever think maybe you're the problem? Ever think maybe something's wrong with you? No, it has to be something wrong with somebody else. You know what Ahab says? He says, hey, I tell you what, I can bring him in here. So you know what happens. Just stick your finger there in 2 Kings and let me just show you this, because I see some of you are kind of confused. You must not have read your Bible. Come to 1 Kings 22. I'm not making fun of you, but some of you are looking at it kind of like, what? I'm trying to speed along here because I got a long way to go. I got about 5 hours of preaching to do. Ahab and Jezebel have manipulated everybody to do and act and say whatever they want done. And now it's become the way that things are set up in the kingdom. There's influence that's here. But it's in the wrong way. It's in the form of manipulation. Right. Look, if you will, there's two kings that are involved here. It's Jehoshaphat and Ahab. In verse number 6, the Israel gathered the prophets together, 400 men. And they say, shall we go up? Verse number 6, let's skip through it. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not yet a prophet of the Lord besides me that might inquire of him? And the king of Israel, that would be Ahab, said unto Jehoshaphat, there's yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And he says, you know what, let's do. I tell you what, let's do. Let's go ahead and call him. So they call him in there. And as they're getting ready to go, watch how manipulation has now filled the kingdom. Verse 13. This fellow goes over there, the Bible says, is a messenger. Verse 13, the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah to spake the words unto him, saying, behold now, the words of the prophet declare good unto the king with one mouth. They're all in agreement, all 400 of them. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. He's manipulating him. He's already telling him what to say before he ever gets into the king's presence. He's saying, listen, we got a big crowd here. There's already been 400 people that have already told the king everything's good. We're ready to go to war. The troops are assembled. We got Jehoshaphat's in here. We're ready to go. And so just go up there and tell the king what he wants to hear. So you know what happens? The Bible says, verse 14, and Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, and what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to the battle, and shall we forbear? And he answered, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it unto the hand of the king. Isn't that what you want to hear? Yep. Answer a fool according to his folly. Sure, king, you already made up your mind. That's what you want to do. You just brought me up here for a show, so I'll go ahead and put my stamp of approval. You go ahead and help yourself because you're not really interested in the truth. You're only interested in getting what you always get. As a matter of fact, you know what? You're not afraid to kill somebody in order to get what belongs to them for you to have it for yourself. Why do you think that 400 prophets were afraid to speak against Jezebel? Remember, that's the wife of Ahab. Because she was willing to kill anybody that got in her way. Right? You know what she did? She sent out a decree after the old preacher came up there in 1 Kings chapter number 19. And you know what she did? She sent out a decree and she said, hey, I'm going to kill you. You know what the people in the kingdom knew? The people in the kingdom knew, you either do what Jezebel says to do and what Ahab says to do, or you'll be dead. So nobody would go against it. Watch what happens, if you will, please. The Bible says, go and prosper. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? Now, how is it that Ahab knows he ain't telling the truth? Because it coincides with the other 400. So now he says, oh, go ahead and tell me the truth, Micaiah. I mean, I know you never agree with anybody. You're always in the objective case, in the kickative mood. You never go along with it. Something's not right about this. I'm telling you. Now watch, Ahab's going to put on this big spiritual appearance of, oh no, I really want the truth. But let's see what happens. Notice he says, and the king said unto him, to tell me the truth. And then verse number 17, and he said, and I saw Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. In other words, Ahab, you're going to die. Right? Now what Ahab doesn't realize is when he purchased or when he got that plot of ground over there called a vineyard, he didn't realize he was bought himself a funeral plot. Ahab didn't understand that men may have looked at that and said it ain't no big deal, but God was looking at it and said, no, 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 you done messed up with somebody's inheritance, and I don't take that too lightly. So you know what happens? Skip on down in the passage, if you will, please. As you come down there, notice in verse number 26, now he wanted the truth, is that right? He wanted the truth, is that right? All right, so now he gives him the truth, and verse number 18, the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? Verse number 26, the king of Israel said, take Micaiah, carry him back among Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with the bread of affliction and water of affliction until I come in peace. You know why he does that? Because an individual that's a manipulator will always take it out on you when he doesn't get his way. Isn't that what he did with Naboth? Jezebel taught him that. Is that right? Do you see the principle I'm setting up? You see, how am I being manipulated? I'm going to show you in just a second here, but I want you to understand manipulation is a satanic thing in the Bible. Manipulation is the same thing as lying. It's the same thing as a half-truth. This is going to be real hard for me not to preach this, but it's wrong for guys to lie to a girl in order to get the girl to do something or to marry her. It's wrong. That's manipulation. Half-truths. It's wrong for girls to lie to get the guy in order to marry him. Amen. Wrong for a preacher to lie to get people to join his church. That's wrong to do. Come on. I mean, what's fair for the goose, fair for the gander, right? All right. So it's wrong for me to get up here and try to make it out to be something that it ain't. You say, what is that? Manipulation. Let's get them in, get them hooked up, and get them locked in. And then once you got them locked in, then if they turn against you, then you can turn against them and you can make them pay the price. Lock them up in prison, smack them in the face, and say, listen, I really wanted the truth, but behind the scenes, take him over there where nobody sees him and lock him away. Amen. Just do your devilment behind the scenes where nobody can see it and talk about it. Watch what happens here. Ahab puts the preacher over there, Micaiah, and he says to do that. And you know what happens in the passage? They go out there, and now Ahab's going to manipulate Jehoshaphat. Kind of like sometimes businessmen do. When they tell a half-truth in order to gain a client so that they can get the client's money, because the manipulator is always looking out for them. They got it. Did y'all get it? They're always looking out for them. The manipulator always has at his heart himself. He's doing everything and orchestrating everything so that he comes out on the receiving end of the good things. I didn't mean to make you uncomfortable, and now all of a sudden it gets kind of quiet, and here it's kind of like, oh man, here we go. I see wives manipulate husbands. I see kids manipulate parents. I see husbands manipulate wives. I see businessmen manipulate other people. And what's happened is it has become one of the things that's an accepted norm that we shouldn't have to be watching out for it, but it's been around since Genesis chapter number 3. In Genesis chapter number 3, if you study your Bible, you know what the Bible says? The Lord says in Genesis chapter 2 and in verse number 17, that's on the left page at the top there, He says, of every tree you can freely eat, but of that tree, you can't have it. And then Genesis chapter number 3, you know what the devil says? Yea, hath God said, thou shalt not surely die. Well, that's a half-truth. She ate the fruit. She didn't die physically immediately, but she died spiritually immediately. And she put a curse at that particular time because of a decision she made on all of mankind, because Adam comes in there and he's not deceived by that. And you know what the devil's doing? The devil's doing his best to manipulate them and say, listen, you know what? God just doesn't want you to be as smart as he is. And God just doesn't want you to know what he knows. And so it would really be to your benefit, but what's the devil really doing? The devil's really working behind the scene to get what he wants, and he doesn't care who he uses in order to get it. And you know what? It doesn't matter if they wind up dying as a result of it. He doesn't care any more than Ahab cares. He doesn't care at all. All he wants is what I want. You'll get this after I sew the pieces together. I'll help you with it, because it's become a norm, an accepted norm nowadays in everything we do. We just kind of tell sort of a half-truth. Kind of that Latin phrase, caveat emptor, let the buyer beware. You go to the place to buy the car and they say, yeah, the car's fine. Then you drive it off the lot and find out the head's cracked and the thing's not working and this ain't working. Well, hey, you know, you bought it, it's as is. Yeah, but I wouldn't bought it as is if you'd have just gone a little further to tell me a little bit more of the truth. Amen. You understand? Amen. So what happens here is Ahab says to Jehoshaphat, he said, I'll tell you what you do. Here's what let's do. We're going out to battle. The battle's probably going to get pretty bad. You go out and you wear all your kingly garments. And I'll tell all my guys to make sure they protect you. I'm just going to go out as one of the regular guys. Do you know why Ahab was doing that? He's now manipulating Jehoshaphat in order to preserve himself, because he realizes if the battle goes bad, they're going to try to kill the kings first. So what he's going to be able to do is to say, hey, get him so I can make my way back. Now, you know what happens. A certain man, the Bible says, picks up a bow, draws in an adventure, and just flings it out there, and all of a sudden that arrow comes down between the shoulder blades of Ahab and smacks him up there and comes poking out, and he says, man, take me over there. And you know what happens? They take him over there, and he dies right there by that plot that he bought in the vineyard. And the Bible says the blood pours out of that particular thing, and that guy just happened to draw a bow and adventure. Are you with me so far? All right, now watch in 2 Kings. Come back over to 2 Kings. You know who Joram is in the Bible. I guess you probably know who Joram is in the Bible. Joram is Jezebel's son. Joram has now become the king since Ahab is dead. And Joram has now become the entitlement to the throne. Look in 2 Kings chapter number 9 and look down all the way to verse number 14. We'll start there. So Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshad, conspired against Joram. Now Joram had been had kept Ramoth Gilead. Where was Naboth's vineyard? Ramoth Gilead. And he and all Israel because of Hazael, king of Syria. Notice what happens. He comes down there in verse number 20 in the interest of time. And the watchman told, saying, and he came even unto them, cometh not again, and driving like and the driving is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimshi. For he driveth furiously. And Joram said, make ready his chariot, and was made ready. And Joram, the king of Israel, and Ahaziah, the king of Judah, went out, each in his chariot, and they went out against Jehu, and met him in the portion of, well, how about that? Met him right there on the ground of Naboth's vineyard. Met him right there where Ahab had said, he won't let me have the vineyard. And Jezebel said, I'll get it for you, baby, don't you worry. I can fix this thing, and I can work this thing, and I can make this thing look like it's something spiritual, look like it's something right, look like they're against God, not against the king. I can fix that thing and get it for you. And now Ahab is dead. Jezebel, who was the master manipulator, is still alive, and her son has now inherited the throne. And it just so happens that as Jehu begins to drive up there, all of a sudden they say, man, you know what we need to do? We need to go make a peace accord over here. And you know, it just so happened that as they drove out, Jehu made it into that portion of Naboth's vineyard, and these two chariots pull up, and they're now on the plot of ground that was bought by the daddy by the blood that had been shed because of manipulation. He owned something by manipulation, not by right. He owned something because things had been twisted and turned in a certain fashion to make it look like something that it wasn't. And nobody else except the plotters knew. But they are in such a habit of manipulating and have done it so much that they don't care who's been hurt, who's been wounded, who's been killed. Don't make no difference. We got what we want. But sometimes when you get what you want, you wish you didn't have it. Because the price is a whole lot more to pay. It may be cheap prices, but it's a high interest rate. Notice what happens. Verse number 22, it came to pass when Joram saw Jehu that he said, is it peace, Jehu? Hey, Jehu, peace, man. Peace, bro. We good, right? I mean, we're good. You remember you and my dad, you know, y'all were like, you know, tight, you know, we're good, right? Is it peace? Is it peace? Are we good? Watch Jehu's response. And he answered, what peace? So long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many. Whoo! If that had been in the South, we going to throw down because you're talking about my mama. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Your mama might be wicked as the devil, but she's like, you don't talk about my mama. And everybody's like, we going to fight now. You're talking about my mama. You hear what he said about my mama? Jehu just said to Joram, your mom is a whore and a witch. Yeah. That's what he said. Look at it. It's in the Bible. Don't look shocked. You people watch television. Don't be looking at me like you're all. Oh, no, he didn't. Oh, yes, I did. I wouldn't dare say some of the stuff you text across your phone and some of the garbage you listen to in your ears. Don't you look all sanctimonious and all hot. Oh, no, we wouldn't. You just told on yourself, man. Like all of a sudden this flash thing went across there and go, did you see what I saw last night? Did you hear what I saw last night? And all that kind of stuff. And you just went like, oh, we don't do that around here. No, you just do it where nobody can see you. Act all shocked like that. Like that's just the wrong response. That's like laughing at a funeral. It ain't right. Amen. That's the wrong response. I wasn't going to preach on that, but I mean, y'all are like... That's what he did. He said, that's what your mother is. You say, why? Because of her. You see, you've just completely forgotten that an innocent man and his family had died because of the witchcraft, the manipulation, and the whoredoms of that woman. But it's kind of like, how could you dare say that? Because it's true. Because innocent people died. And as a result, you have other people that have been involved in battles. Because behind the scenes, this wicked, God-forsaken woman had become a tool in the devil's hands and a master manipulator. The epitome of narcissism, look it up in the dictionary and see a picture of Jezebel. It always was and always will be about Jezebel. That's the only reason she exists, is for herself. She didn't marry Ahab because she loved him. She married Ahab because she could control him. She married Ahab so she could have rulership in the kingdom. She ruled the kingdom from the back room. You understand? She's the boss. Baby, what's wrong? I went over there to get, hey, ain't you the boss? Who are they to tell you no? Hey, can I just tell you, everybody can be questioned at some point in time and nobody is above a rebuke and nobody is above being said, hey, can we check that and make sure that's right? If all you got is a bunch of people saying, yes, I agree, yes, I agree, yes, I agree, somebody's headed for some trouble. Iron sharpeneth iron. There's got to be a check every now and then to go, wait a minute, man. Let's just check it. Let's just make sure. And listen, if it comes out okay, great. Amen. Nobody is beyond reproach.
That's right.
Amen. You mean to tell me he won't let you have that? Joram comes down there. He's the son of this woman. Hey, peace, man. We're good, right? I guarantee you, Jehu's looking there. He crosses that borderline. He's going, oh, buddy, I know what ground I'm on. You know what that old preacher told Ahab? It took a while for it to come true. Ahab, finally, he's out there walking around in that vineyard, and he's thinking, boy, this is a great thing, man. Look at this. My wife gave it to me for my present. My wife gave it to me because my wife really loves me. He's convincing himself she does and all that kind of deal. He don't even realize that there's a hook in that. One day, you know what that manipulator is going to say? I did that for you. Now I want something in return. That's what a manipulator always does. There's always a treble hook underneath that gift that's kind of like, well, here's a gift, but I just want you to know one day I'm going to kind of be going, remember when? Help me a little. He don't even know what's happening. So he's walking right up there. And that old preacher, Elijah the Tishbite, he comes out through the bushes over there. He hears a rustle in the bushes. And that old preacher comes out there and he says, hey, Ahab. And he goes, oh, God, what are you doing here? He says, a matter of fact, because God told me to be here. And it's a good thing you said, oh, God, because I got news for you. You just got a piece of property that don't belong to you. You stole somebody else's inheritance by making things appear to be something that they weren't. And you're just as guilty of doing it as Jezebel is of having orchestrated it, because you allowed it and you condone it and you went along with it. So you're just as guilty as she is. And I got news for you. They're going to kill her and you too. And Ahab goes, whatever. So 1 Kings 22 comes along. Elijah's gone. Micaiah comes up and says, guess what? You're going to die. Now do you understand why he's so mad at Micaiah? Because he's thinking, wait a minute, I've been doing good. There's been peace for a little while. Nobody's reminded him. No conviction for a little while. It's been kind of quiet. He didn't die right away, and he kind of forgot about that. Micaiah comes up and says, listen, I saw them as a sheep without a shepherd. You dead, Ahab. He's like, oh, man, there's that stinking preacher again. Telling me I'm going to die. So what happened? The manipulator says, somebody's going to die. Isn't it interesting? He took on the same traits that his wife had.
Yes, sir.
You say why? Because Manipulators breed manipulators. Manipulators produce manipulators. All right, now we're down to Joram. Are you up? It's starting to make a little more sense to you now. Watch now. Watch what happens here. I've only got about 4.5 more hours to go. Watch. The Bible says this. What peace so long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many. And Joram turned his hands and fled and said to Ahaziah, there is treachery. Really? You mean the same thing your mama and daddy did? But this time, and Jehu drew a bow with full strength, with his full strength. Well, look where the arrow hit him. He sunk down in the chariot when the thing hit him between the shoulder blades, the same way it happened to his daddy. Only this time, it wasn't a bow and adventure. This time, Jehu said, you watch that arrow fly intentionally and right between the shoulder blades, pokes out through his heart. He sinks down in there, and guess what happens? Look at it. Then said Jehu to Bidkar, his captain, take up and cast him in the porch. Oh. Take him and cast him in the portion of the field of Naboth, the Jezreelite. For remember how that when I and thou rode together after Ahab his father, the Lord laid this burden upon me. Jehu knew exactly where he was and knew exactly what God was doing. And notice what he says. He says, surely I have seen yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his son, saith the Lord, and I will requite thee in this plat, Naboth's vineyard, saith the Lord. Now therefore take and cast him into the plat of ground. We call it a plot nowadays, according to the word of the Lord. Genesis chapter number 3. False truth. Satanically devised truths. Half truths. You see, what the devil does over in the book of Genesis, just so that you understand, is what the devil does is he sets a trap by using half truths, or I would say 9/10 truth. And he uses Scripture to do it. You say, preacher, what are you leading to? You'll have to stay around another couple hours for me to tell you, but just hang in there. Same thing that happens that the devil did to Eve, he did to the Lord in the wilderness. Lord, see all these kingdoms? It would be to your benefit to just go ahead and take the kingdoms now without the suffering. You don't have to go through all that paying for them and all that. Listen, you take the kingdoms, which equates to worship of me. I mean, you're admitting I'm wrong and I'm right and you're wrong. And yeah, but it'd be to your benefit to go ahead and do that. Why go through all this other stuff and be despised and rejected and all that kind of thing? And listen, just go ahead and take it now. Be to your benefit. The manipulator always sits across the table from you and tries to convince you it would be better for you to agree with him or her than it would be for you to agree with what the actual truth is. He'll always bait you with a benefit. It will be to your benefit. It'll help you do something for the queen. Hey, the queen owes you one. Do something for the king. Hey, the king owes you one. Right. Do something. You see what I'm saying? Right. So in Genesis chapter number 3, now you know what the Lord said. You say, he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Yeah, but you're thinking it just means get behind me in this fashion. You're thinking that all it means is that here's the devil opposing, not that you're the devil, especially now that you're bigger than I am. Lord God, son, what happened to you? My Lord. He's looking at the devil this way. When he's not just saying, get thee behind me, Satan, like this. Like, get behind me. He's going, you need to get in the right order here, buddy. You're not going to manipulate me and make yourself boss over me. Because as soon as you succumb to manipulation, they own you.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. They own you. Might be years before they pull that string, but they own you. They know something and you don't want it to come out. Why do you think when it comes to political campaigns that people are worried about them going back to when they were in high school? It's not just because of pulling up the filth. It's because of pulling up all the ones that they owe. And what they're trying to uncover is if we put this guy in office, what debts has he got to pay for things that he was manipulated in earlier? Not a real popular message for a Sunday morning, but preacher, I thought you came back from revival. I did. But that doesn't mean that, you know, it's not time for some broccoli this morning. You say, well, good for you. Make you regular. Amen? Yeah. From the look of some of you, you need a good movement this morning. You just kind of like, I feel kind of gassy. You've been eating too much sugar, man. You need something to kind of loosen you up a little. I can't believe how that preacher talks, you know. You ain't going to ever sophisticate me. You just well quit trying. Let me show you where this root of this thing is. So that you understand that when you're doing it, you're doing something that is satanic.
Amen.
How do I know if I'm being manipulated? The manipulator never wants you to talk to anybody else but them. They want to control your every move.
Psst,
don't tell anybody. Shh, me and you. Now you think you're keeping a secret. You ain't keeping a secret. You on the hook. Just because the pressure's been let off don't mean you ain't still on the hook. Long as you're swimming in the direction of the hook, there ain't no pressure. The second you kind of fly, you're like, whoa, don't forget who's got you now.
Yeah, brother. Mm-hmm. Right. That's it.
You say, where's it come from? I'm trying to get around to it. I just can't quite get there. Genesis 3. The serpent is more subtle than any beast of the field. More subtle, more slick.
Right.
Which the Lord God made, and he said to the woman, yea, hath God said ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? No, he said, verse 17 of chapter 2, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou shalt eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Yea, did he say that ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, well, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch. He never said, neither shall you touch it.
Right.
Now she's involved in a conversation, and now she's adding things to, and now the devil's going, got you, man, because now you're thinking, instead of what God said, you're adding in what you think he really meant to say. I got you. You hooked. All I got to do now is just reel you in nice and slow so you don't know you're hooked. You know what happens. You know that eventually he is over there partaking of the fruit right there. And the serpent said in verse number 4, the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. See, the truth is, he just doesn't want you to be like gods, knowing good and evil and have your eyes open. There's the benefit. It'd be beneficial for you to do it like this. A preacher, it's faster if you do it like this. It's quicker if you do it. Preacher, let me cover the cost of all that and then you know what? It'll happen a lot quicker. Well, if you wanted to cover it, how come you had to announce it? Why don't you just cover it? Unless you're expecting something in return. Unless the day's going to come when you come and say, now, preacher, I need to ask you something. And you won't say, remember when. You know what you'll do? You just ask, but you're wanting to kind of like infer. Now, don't forget. Why, preacher, we know you wouldn't be where you're at if it hadn't been for... Now, I'm not saying nothing. I know it's just God's will, but I need to ask you something, preacher. You say, oh, preacher, no, not here. Oh, yeah, man, yeah. Preacher, I've been coming there for 20 years. Okay. Well, why'd you just say that? Were you coming here because this is where God wanted you to be? Or are you fixing to, you owe me something deal coming? And I want to know how come I'm not teaching that Sunday school class. How come you didn't make me a deacon? How come they're playing the piano? Because Brother Gary's arm's broke, that's why I'm not. I'm trying to lighten it up. Boy, y'all got serious, man. You say, what is it? It's satanic.
That's right.
I carried you for 9 months. Right there. I paddled your behind and bottle fed you. You owe me. You didn't say it, but you're trying to manipulate. It's my day. No, it's the Lord's day. No, you don't understand. You owe me. You forget the Lord. You come into my house. Oh, help me. You don't understand. I trumped the Lord. I spent all that time. Well, I was hoping, Mama, you done it because you loved me. I was hoping, Mama, you did it because you cared about me. I didn't know you did that because you had to, because one day you were going to yank that chain and say, you owe me. Done quit preaching and gone to meddling, hadn't I? You say, what is it? It's how Satan has gotten into our homes, into our businesses, and into our church. And some of you've got your posterior upon your shoulders this morning. You're cattywampus this morning, or the Lord wouldn't have me preaching something like this on a Sunday morning with visitors here. You're upset about something because in your mind you thought, after all I've done, and they let him do, they let her do, what about me do? Oh, I was hoping at the judgment seat of Christ it would be gold, silver, and precious stones, not wood, hay, and stubble. But I guess we just found out what it really was, and what your real motivation for doing it was is you've been keeping tallies the whole time. Some of you are sitting here visiting today and you know what you're saying. Thank God I'm not a member of that church. But you ever wonder why God's got you here today? Coincidence, right? 1 Kings 11. Well, preacher, I come to church today to see, how y'all do things around here. Yeah, and you ain't getting John 3:16 this morning. This thing runs all the way to the throne room, folks. You say, how do you know? I can't believe a good God would put somebody in hell. You rotten Southerners, you. You think you're gonna disturb God with that Southern slick as sugary iced tea, you know, make God look bad because he put somebody in hell because it's your kinfolk? God ain't even going to clear his throat. You know what you're trying to do? You devil, you're trying to manipulate God. Why'd God do this to me? You devil, you. God don't answer to you. You know what you just did? You just became a mouthpiece for the devil, and you just said, after all I've done for God, bless God, why'd he do this to me? He should have put your carcass in hell. But he was gracious and merciful and allowed you to get saved. And you think because now you're saved, and you think because you're coming to church, and you think because you're reading your Bible, that God's indebted to you. You can't never pay for what he did for you. You are doing it to say thank you to him, not to repay him. The church is full of Jezebel manipulators. Why, God? God's like, well,
I'm so sorry you think bad of me. Michael, what am I going to, Gabriel, I don't know. Did you hear what they said about me? Look at how much, after all I did for them. You know what God said? Serve me if you want to. If you don't, see you later at the judgment seat of Christ. He gave you a free will. He didn't say, buddy, after your mind, he said for you to serve it, to be to your benefit. If you don't want to, see you later, destroy yourself. I'll see you and I'll still save you in spite of you being the devil.
Amen. 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 Amen.
First Kings chapter number 11. Are you still with me?
Yes, sir.
Half-truths. Manipulation. There is nothing worse than those kind of statements coming from a Christian. Because it has twice the power coming from somebody who is either an atheist or won't acknowledge that there's a God. You say, why? Because you're questioning the one that saved you. So when you say something like that, it has power. You know what it is? It's the devil getting in you and the devil using you as a mouthpiece. Because you're trying to manipulate God to say, get off my back. Leave me alone. But you don't say that straight up. What you're saying is, why, after all I've done, what have any of us done for Him? You ever think about that? Well, I'm in church. You ever think about why you're in church? Are you that stupid? Uninformed. It's Sunday morning. I got to be sophisticated. I'm about ready to sneak and kick my shoes off and go to preach. Are you that sophisticated? Really? That you really think that you're valuable to God? You know why you're in church today? Some of you old people, I don't mean no disrespect to you, but you're here in church today not because you're a good person. You're here because God put it in you to be here. You're here. Everything you got, God gave. I'm self-made, I'll have you know. You're the devil, I'll have you know. That's what the devil said. I will. 5 cotton-picking times, he said it. You better be careful about that I stuff. But by the grace of God. That's what the Bible says. The Lord willing. That's what the Bible says. I'm here. Why? Because of Him. I go to church. I know. I told Brother Sam the other day, I said, I know I'm not being spiritual. I know God looked at me and my little pumpkin head and He said, buddy, if I don't call that guy to be a policeman early, he'll be a stinking dope head and be in the jailhouse. Run with the wrong crowd. Too easily led, he's going to be a mess. So I'll make him a policeman. Keep him out of trouble. Then a little later on, he said, if I don't call him to preach, he probably won't never darken the doors of the church because he knows too much about Christian, and so he won't like hypocrites, so he won't go. So I'm going to put him in the midst of hypocrites. I don't think God called me into the ministry to be a blessing to you. I think God did that to be a blessing to me and said, listen, you probably won't be there if you don't get a paycheck for doing it. I'd like to think that it's otherwise than that, but the fact of the matter is God knows things about me I don't know. God did it to be a blessing to me. If you get something on the outcast or the outskirts of that, then God's just using something that He said, man, I got to do something special with that nut. I got to get him so wrapped up in all this other stuff. Otherwise, he's going to be off in the ditch somewhere. He's saved. What am I going to do for him? I know what I'll do. I'll fix his little red wagon. I'll call him to preach. Well, God called me to preach to be the voice of America. I sit there and look at you and I'm thinking to myself, why aren't they even here? I can't even believe they're coming here to hear this. That's really how I look at it. It's not like, how come there ain't more people? I'm thinking, how come there's so many? My wife's all the time asking me, how come all them other churches are so big? Because they got better preachers. I'm looking and going, I think ours is pretty big. Sure. Really? When I look in the mirror, I'm going, really? Y'all are being real kind. Thank you. It's because it's post-birthday. I get it. Watch. 1 Kings chapter 11. Let me hurry. Watch it. Verse number 28. And the man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor. Solomon, seeing a young man that he was industrious, he made him ruler over all the charge of the house of Joseph. Pretty good fellow, Jeroboam, would you say?
Yes,
would you agree? Pretty good fellow, Jeroboam.
Amen.
All right, now watch. Brother TK, get me Proverbs chapter 28, and I'll give you the verse in just a second. All right, watch. Verse number 40. Now, in a short period of time, watch verse 40. Solomon sought therefore to kill Jeroboam. What? He's gone from he's a mighty man of valor to I'm going to kill him. Well, let's see if we can use the Bible to find out what happened. Come over, if you will, please, to 1 Kings chapter number 12. And look at verse number 26. Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people will go to sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me. Be to my benefit to manipulate them, do you think? Do you think? Say amen, because that's what you're thinking. And do again to Rehoboam, the king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, it's too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. It's too far to drive. Man, I got something nearby the house. Close to the house. Oh, we're not seeing the same propensity that we saw in Jezebel and Ahab, are we? I got something. Oh, hey, that's too far to go over there. You ain't got to go all the way to Jerusalem. We got the same thing here.
Come on.
Watch. Behold thy gods, little g, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Oh, my goodness. Are we back in Exodus?
Right.
Hey, Aaron, are you talking to them? Watch. And set one in Bethel, another he put in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship spiritual Jezebel. The devil, quoting Scripture, spiritual. Watch. He made a high places and made priests of the lowest people, which were not of the sons of Levi. It's still a priest. It's just not the right priest.
Right, exactly.
But they're all the same. Watch. Jeroboam ordained a feast of the eighth month. On the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast in Judah. It's a counterfeit. Are you seeing it? And he offered upon the altar, so did Bethel, the sacrifice unto calves. And he made the priests there in Bethel, in the high places. He offered upon the altar, which he had made in Bethel, the 15th day of the eighth month, even in the month which he had, look at it, what's the word?
Devised
of his own heart. Manipulation always begin in our own heart for our own selfish reasons. Proverbs chapter number 28. TK, read it to me real loud. And the rest of you can turn to the book of Proverbs. We're going to stay there for another couple hours and we'll be done. Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 10.
Whoso calls it the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit. But the upright shall have good things in possession.
So can I ask you a question as you look at Proverbs chapter number 16? Do you now understand why Solomon wanted to kill the guy he thought was a great guy? Do you now understand that the guy started out right?
Yeah.
But what happened was when he got out of the limelight, when he got out of the public spectrum, when he got out of everything everybody expected, you know what he did? He devised in his own heart. He said, you know what? I can start a church.
That's right. Amen.
I don't need them to die. I can start my own work. That's what he does. It's his own religion.
Right. That's right.
Oh, you're not with me just yet. I'm not talking about you having a Bible study. Relax. I can start my own religion. I mean, it's just the same as all the other religions. But it's more convenient for you, and it's not so restrictive, and it's not so single-minded and narrow-minded, and it's not the narrow way. It's a broad way. It's kind of relaxed. Everything's going to be fine. It's sort of kind of a little bit conservative, but we just have a little bit of contemporary stuff, you know, to kind of, you know, to reach the people. Because everything that's done in a church is done to reach the people.
Come on, preacher.
Every compromise every may ever made has done to reach the people. And if you stand up and said, hey, I don't think rock and roll and contemporary music is right, they say, what about the people?
Right. Right,
they like it. God don't.
Yeah.
So if they don't, too bad.
Right. Amen.
Well, I got about 10 amens there. That's your mentality. God, you give me what I want or I ain't coming. I ain't reading. You know what you better do? You better read the Bible. You say, why? You don't know what you're fixing to face during the day. You say, why? It'll help you. You say, why? Because your heart devises the wrong thing. Another religion, another way. That manipulative, satanic spirit goes in. I'll have you know I'm saved and I'm sealed to the day of religion, the day of redemption. Your soul, bless God, may be saved, dear lady, but your tongue is a long way from salvation. Bring all 40 feet of it up here and lay it on the altar. It may take you 4 or 5 trips, but bring it up here and see if God can sanctify it and set it apart and stop using it to divide the body of Christ. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Comes out of a manipulative heart.
Yes, sir.
I want my way. And you know what you do? You hook up some other people. You write some letters. You text them. You Facebook them. Hallelujah! Woo! You call them on the telephone. You meet with them out back. And you begin to plot. And then you say them little things, you know, that they kind of have to respond to. And when they don't respond, let me just tell you, they got you. Because you didn't have the backbone to go, no, I want to make sure you understand I ain't agreeing with what you're saying. You ain't hooking me up with that one. I ain't going to be a part of that. So when you get ready to go tell all your other little devils about this, you make sure you tell them that I'm over here, I ain't with you. Don't you be hooking me up by telling me stuff in order to then say, well, you know, I was talking to the preacher the other day and then you lay your Tommy rod out there and make it look like the preacher was all for it. You're the devil. Subtle, manipulating, trying to get over here and use the power of the preacher to get what you want. Hey, I ain't got no authority but spiritual authority anyway. Except in my home with my wife. But that's only because she submits. I can't force her. Browbeat her. That ain't right. She's got a right to an opinion.
Amen.
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 She's got a right to say something.
Sure.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
She can talk to herself all she wants. I'm just kidding. She's got a right to an opinion. I had to lighten it up, man. They're going way down. I ain't even close to done, but I'm trying to get there. You see, people hook you up by just having you in a crowd and saying things. And then you know what happens? You didn't say anything. But you know what happens? Then when the statement gets repeated, you get thrown in the barrel. And because you were there, you know what they say? It's as good as you saying it. Because bless God, you are known by your associates.
Amen.
If you're hanging around with people that are saying stuff they ain't got no business saying, you know what they're doing? They're manipulating you. You know what it'll do? It'll make you easy prey when the boy comes along to manipulate you because you'll be accustomed to it and you'll learn to manipulate. Not just y'all. I'm preaching to everybody. You just happen to be right in the spit zone.
Amen.
I'll give it to you. You got more courage than them. The rest of them, they're looking at me like... It's satanic.
That's right. Yeah,
that's right.
It's a half-truth.
Amen.
It's a hook.
Yes, sir.
It's to try to get you... You know, me and the chief, we're buddies and all. And I was talking to him the other day. By the way, you know, they're going to appoint so-and-so as a state attorney. It's kind of like, did that come from the chief? How did he know that? I bet that was secret information. I bet he, oh, I guess the chief must be for that guy as a state attorney. I get. No, we didn't even talk about that. What I made you believe was because we're friends, he told me some inside information. And now I've made you believe that he and I are on the same page, so you should be on the same page with us. Oh, can you help me a little? That may be difficult to understand, but it's the absolute God's honest truth. Hooking you up. That's what the devil does. You say, why? He wants his way. That's the whole deal. The manipulator wants their way. They don't care how they got to go through to get it. Preacher, do you counsel married couples together?
Yeah.
You say, why? You'd be surprised at the difference in what a woman hears and what a man hears. The husband goes home. Well, the preacher said, and the wife's like, whoa! What preacher are you listening to? Because that ain't what I heard him say. Trying to bulldog her, bulldoze her, run over her. Because you're a manipulator. Men, it ain't just for women. Businessmen. They try to manipulate me when I, if I go to one of these fast oil change places, they tell me my car's falling apart. By the time they get done talking to me, I think my car's going to fall apart in the bay. I'm not even going to have nothing. I'm going to call somebody. Can you give me a ride, man? My car died. You not only need oil and a filter, but you need an air filter, and you need some windshield wipers, and you need the lube in the rear end change, and you need the front end gear lube change, and you need a new radiator, and you got to have fluid, and we got to pump it out of there. And oh my God, it's the most horrible thing in the world. Say, hey man, I want an oil change, and don't talk to me no more. Well, you see your car smoking. Yeah, I saw you pour some stuff in the carburetor too. What are they doing? Manipulating me by fear. I don't have my wife take the car to get the oil changed. You say, why? She'd be like, oh, honey, they said the car's falling apart. It's only going to cost $3,000. She don't know nothing about cars. She depends on me to take care of that. Proverbs chapter 16. Am I helping anybody? Verse number 25. Ain't it a blessing to be in church and just to see what the Bible says? Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 25. But the way, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. But the end thereof are the ways of death. You ever have somebody, they get right for like 3 days, and they are the authority on getting right with God. Oh, I'm right with God! Really? How long you been right with God? 3 days. I can tell you how to get right. You ever get with somebody? They've been on a diet and they lost a half a pound in a week. And they're like, I can tell you, I'm fixing to bring out a new book, How to Lose Weight by Me. For $14.95, I'll give you my secret. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Well, I bought this. It's the best. Well, sure you did. You would never think somebody bought something better than yours because that'd make you an idiot. So you buy it. You're convincing everybody. I'm telling you, that's it. This is the best. Why? Because I bought it. Are you with me? Hooking you up. I'll show you how to get out of it in a minute. Because I don't know about you, but I don't like them hooks. No, no, no. There's one I don't mind being hooked up to. Amen. That's him. Amen. Woo! I don't even like it when my wife tries to hook me up the wrong way. But you know what I know? She's got my back. I can trust her. She's not looking for what all she can get. It might take 30 years for you to get to that point. But I trust her. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. What's that saying? You got a way you want to go, but you better check that thing with the Lord.
Amen.
Don't you tell me for 1 second that in your own mind you thought, I'm going to go over there where TK goes. You thought, I think I might go over there. And your flesh said, ain't no way I'm going over there. Am I telling the truth? Ain't no way. You've got to be kidding. That nut up there screaming and yelling, acting a fool. Don't mess up my illustration. But you know what you did? You checked with the Lord. You better have checked with the Lord. Because otherwise, you know what will happen? You'll always be looking for a reason to justify getting out.
That's right.
You come from Colorado.
Yes, sir.
You did some research. You're thinking, man, there ain't nothing like Californians or Coloradians. But let me just tell you this, there ain't nobody like Californians and Coloradians. That's why that place is on fire right now.
I'm glad to be out.
Aren't you glad you ain't there?
Yes, sir.
I mean, it's hot in some places, but at least we ain't burning, amen.
Amen, amen.
Did you know what you did? You said, I don't know, better check with the Lord. Made some phone calls. You understand?
Amen.
You see, because there's a way that your heart says. Some of you kids, you know what's starting to happen to you? Well, they got a big youth program down there. And they got music down there. They got paintball and ping pong and pinball and pizza and parties. And I mean, man, it's good down there. And they got guys down there and they got girls down there. And I'm telling you right now, there's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. I'm going down there because my friends are there. They're the wrong friends. I'll be willing to bet you lost some friends when you joined the Marine Corps. I'll be willing to bet you that some people that used to be your friends ain't your friends no more because of choices you made. You better check with the Lord. You say, what am I trying to help you with? I'm trying to help you. Don't let people manipulate you because your own heart devises that. And then what will happen is the devil will fix it, and the individual that thinks like you think, all of a sudden you'll be hooked up together and you'll be going, now see, that's it. And you'll be justifying it by them, not by him.
Amen.
Just a couple more and we'll be done, I promise. Proverbs chapter number 12. Proverbs chapter number 12. To me, this is just really good. See, things get devised out of their own heart. What did Jeroboam do over there? He devised another way of worship.
Right.
Is that right?
Right?
He said, hey, listen, that's fine for them, but you know what? We just got a couple golden calves over here, and we got one at Dan over here, and you can do, and it's close to you. And listen, man, it's the same thing. We do it on the same days. We have the same ceremonies. It's the same thing. No, it ain't the same thing. But what he's doing is because he's trying, remember the passage, to preserve his own life. He says, in order to preserve my life, I got to get them to owe me something.
That's right. Amen.
So what I'm going to do is give them what they're looking for, someplace close by the house where they can go. And he replaces that worship, Mr. Joseph Smith. He replaces it, Mr. Russell.
Uh-huh.
He replaces it, Constantine,
right,
who made Catholicism.
Amen.
So you shouldn't. I know people that are nice like that. I'm not talking about the people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They manipulated a whole bunch of people and saying,
amen,
that's okay. And then it make you feel like something's wrong with you because you're, I don't want to go there.
Right. Amen.
Are you saying my religion's wrong? Don't push me, pal.
Right.
I just said I don't want to go.
Come on, preacher.
Right. Well, preacher, don't they believe in the blood atonement? And don't they believe that Jesus died on the cross? And don't they believe in the resurrection? Yes, and they also believe you pray to Mary. And they also believe in taking the sacraments.
Right.
And they also believe in drinking juice or wine.
Amen.
They also believe that in doing so that you continue to keep your salvation. They also believe if you don't continue to work, you lost what you had.
Right.
They added something to it. You say, what is it? It's the religion of Jeroboam.
Right.
It's the convenient. It's the manipulation. It's the hook you up thing.
Amen.
And you think when the preacher gets up and warns you about it, oh, well, yeah. You know, all religions are the same. Really, Muhammad, are they the same?
No, sir.
No way. No.
Nope.
You've got to have a backbone nowadays to say that.
Right.
The day's coming in this country when you say that and somebody's going to be taking your head off or looking to do it. You say, why? Because you've shut your mouth and said, well, you know, it don't really matter. And they've hooked you up. Because keeping physical peace is more important than keeping the King of Peace at peace. You've been manipulated into hushing your mouth. I don't want people to talk about me like they talk about you. Well, how would you know how they talk about me? Preacher, you know what they say about our church? Why are they saying it to you? I could give you right now a half a dozen men I could call up on this platform and I guarantee you they wouldn't say it to them. Why they say it to you? They ain't trying to hook you up, are they? Watch. Proverbs chapter number, are we in 12? Are you there? Okay, verse number 15. The Bible says this, the way of the fool is right in where?
His own eyes.
But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. You know what the Bible says? You need some counseling.
Right.
That's what preaching's for. That's what the Bible's for. That's what the Holy Spirit tries to do. He says, listen, the way of the fool, you know what? It's right in his own eyes. You think you know what you're doing. I got it. It won't be long before you're going to be manipulating people.
Yeah.
Two more, Proverbs 19. Cry to convince yourself you're right. Let me just tell you this. Just because you got a crowd around you don't mean you're right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you hear me?
Amen.
Just because you have a lot of people you've manipulated and they believe like you believe, don't mean you're right.
Amen.
Right. It just means you're a master manipulator.
Amen.
Jezebel.
Amen.
Jezebel and Ahab ran an entire kingdom and nobody would say, hey, queen, I ain't doing that.
Right.
Forget it. She called them up. You know what they were willing to do? She didn't have to commit the murder. They did it for her. She's just behind the scenes. Boys, y'all do me a favor. Why do you think she got so mad when Elijah come up there and killed all them prophets? Messing up her little red wagon.
That's right.
Amen. She hated every prophet from that day forward. Because they said, nothing doing, Jez.
Right.
Uh-uh.
Right.
Uh-uh.
Right.
What the Lord says is what matters to me.
Amen.
He ain't telling me what. Because whenever you stand up against a manipulator like Micaiah, do you remember where we started 4 hours ago?
Yeah.
You're going to wind up in jail.
Right.
You're going to wind up eating the bread of affliction and the water of affliction.
Yeah. Right.
And they're going to put you away.
Right.
You're going to be a cost. Mama, Mama, I'm going to church and then I'll be by. Come in for dinner. Well, we had to wait till you got out of church. Okay, well, I'm sorry, Mama, but I'm here now. You know how long I waited on you? Yes, ma'am, I understand. I'm sorry I held everything up, but I'm here now.
Amen.
The taters are cold. You say, what are you talking about? You done messed with her little nest.
Right.
Y'all quiet right there, boy.
Good.
You're quiet. You know what you think? You think in the South, blood's thicker than the Bible. You think in the South, you think your family trumps God. God help you. You in one family now.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Whether you like your brothers and sisters or not, you in one family now.
Amen.
John? Yes, sir. Behold your mama. Well, Lord, you know you got a couple of your own kinfolk around here. Yeah. That's why I said you take care of mama, and mama, you behold your son. Because why does he do that on the cross, preacher? Because spiritual means more to him than physical.
That's right.
We'll thin the crowd today. Balcony will be empty tonight and have, you know, a few people in there. God, man. But you want the truth, right?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Or do you really, Ahab?
Yes,
that's what Ahab said.
Right.
How many times do I tell you to tell me the truth? You're going to die. Put him in jail. Preacher, we want the truth. Okay, here it is. I ain't coming tonight. I ain't giving no more. I ain't going no more. I ain't doing no more. I ain't singing no more. I ain't going to have nothing to do with you. I want the truth. All right, here's the truth. You're wicked as the cotton-picking devil, and you got the spirit of Jezebel in you, and you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God and get off your blessed assurance and start doing something. Bless God, that'd be the last time I visit over there. Go ahead, help yourself, Ahab. Wait and see if the devil's arrow don't pierce you between the shoulder blades and smack you right in the heart and your heart turn just as cold and black as the exhaust pipes of hell.
Amen. Amen. Preacher.
And get bitter.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Like Abigail's husband. Heart died long before he did. Get that bitter, angry. You say, why?
Because, Ahab, you're not getting your way. We'll give you your vineyard. It's not all about you.
Watch it. Next time you do it, you know what will happen? That spirit of Jezebel will rise up and somebody will say, man, what happened to you?
Well, I wanted that. They wouldn't let me have it.
Hey, I got it. I'll fix it for you. Shh.
Uh-huh.
Don't tell nobody.
Right.
Just our little secret.
Amen.
They're going to hook you up.
Right.
Proverbs chapter number 19. Thank you. Verse number 21. There are many devices in a man's heart. Every time that devices shows up, it always has to do with this conniving, fixing something. There's many devices. You better check that device, man.
Yes, sir. Correct.
Many devices. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Yep. You know what he says? That man, Rehoboam, you know what he says? He devised in his own heart.
Right.
I can figure this out. You know what Jezebel said? Hey, baby, I get you a way to get that. You know what Joram said? Hey, man, peace. We're good, right? He turned and ran. You realize what he said about his mama? It must have been true. He didn't ever rebuke him. He just went, oh, man. You ever read the rest of that passage? They go grab Jezebel and chunk her out of the window. She falls down, and all of a sudden, tank comes up there. Say, oh, how nasty. That's what the old preacher said was going to happen. You divisive, manipulative woman, you're going to be ending the same way that Naboth did with blood everywhere. Only difference is I'm going to have the dogs come and lick the blood so that that plot of ground doesn't ever have to be done like we did with Naboth's. One more and we're done. Proverbs 21. The Bible's good, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
I think it is. Preacher, you can't be sure about this. Well, I can be. Jezebel can't be, but I can be. You're trying to manipulate somebody, you got to always kind of leave that question mark. Yea, hath God said? There's some things God said that there's no question about. You know what he says? He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me.
That's right.
Period.
Amen.
So you can't be defended about that. You're an idiot. You're trying to manipulate me. Get away from me, Jezebel. You're trying to tell me there's another way to heaven than through him. He said it's through him, so I'm going to believe him.
Amen.
And anybody else is trying to get me on their side. And if I go, well, you know, I never really thought about that. You know what they're saying? Well, you know, he kind of believes like we do. See, why are you saying that? If somebody comes to me and says, now listen, preacher, I just want you to know I believe in praying to Mary. You think I'm just going to say, okay? You know, I'm going to say, well, you're entitled to your beliefs, but I believe what the Bible says, and the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus.
Amen.
I don't find any place in that Bible where you're praying to a woman.
Right.
If that's what you want to do, it's fine. You got free country.
Right.
I don't want to knock anybody. They want to be any religion they want to be, but don't you try to hook me up because I'm not going to say nothing.
Right.
Jezebel.
Amen.
It amazed me when Jezebel goes to get that thing signed. Proverbs chapter 21, and we're done. It amazed me. She sent over there and told them to do that, and not a single one of them fellows said, Queen, you know, we might ought to give this some thought here. That inheritance has been in that fellow's land a long time, man. You fixing to get this guy. You gonna make me lie on him? It's implied. Yeah, I expect you to lie on him. Because you're only living because of me. So now the payback. You only have a position because of me. So now the payback. You got the promotion to who you are because of me. Now the payback. They didn't earn their promotion. They were promoted in the kingdom because Jez could control them. And then when she says, okay, how you like the houses? And how you like the lands? And how you like being in the king's court? And how you like having the inside information on everything? And how you like being in the secret meetings and knowing what's going on behind the scenes? How you like all that? Boy, we're living high on the hog. Lone chicken boy is really good, man. Oh, we're the upper elite. We're riding around. We're big, fancy, and so on and so forth. She says, boys, I need you to do something for me. You know what they realized? If they didn't, they lose everything she'd given them. She'd been manipulating them for years until the time came where she says, honey, I'll get it for you. She doesn't back up about it. She didn't say, you know, I'll ask the guys and see if I can work it out. She said, I'll get it for you.
Right.
You know why? Because she knew them guys loved what they had and they would be willing to do anything in order to keep it.
Right.
God says, take thy son Isaac to a land I'll tear thee of. Abraham says, okay. If he said that to you today, you know what Jezebel will say? Well, look what it'll cost you. And you start backing up.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Lord, what if it called me to the mission field? What about my house?
Yep.
What about my car?
Yep.
What about my insurance? What about my family? What about my friends?
What if you call me to preach? I have to give up my career. Lord, I have to give up my... Okay. Do you think he gave you all that stuff just to hook you up? No. Gave it to you because he loves you. But you're hooked by it. Proverbs chapter 21. Verse 1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Here it is again. Every man's way is right in his own eyes. But the Lord pondereth the heart. Preacher, what are you trying to tell me? I'm trying to tell you that if you got that spirit of manipulation, you need to shuck that thing off and get away from it. It's the spirit of Jezebel. I'm trying to tell you that if you've been manipulated, you need to go to the manipulator and say, hey, listen, man, I just want to let you know straight up here and now, if I owe you anything, I'm paying you right now because I don't want you trying to call in your deal later on down the line.
Amen.
And if you call that friendship or membership or anything else you call it, I want to make sure you understand that that ain't friendship at all. And if you're expecting something in return for something, you're just trying to hook me up and one day you're going to call on me and I'm not going to answer because you're expecting a return. Because the only reason you did it was you want to control me. A manipulator always wants to control you for their good. See, what is it, preacher? It's the spirit of Jezebel. Somebody's going to die. When it happens in a church, you know what happens? Somebody dies spiritually. There's people in here right now that have been wounded by people and hurt by people and nearly spiritually killed by people all around here because you got hooked up in some mess. And they took advantage of you. And they're nowhere to be seen. And you know what you are? You're just what's called collateral damage. You're just out there hanging out. Because somebody couldn't control you. And they controlled you. And then they went for the payback. And then they escaped with their own skin. And 850 prophets of Baal dead. You say, why? Somebody hooked you up. Preacher, what do I do? Ask God to help give you deliverance from it.
Yes, sir.
God gave you a free will. If there should be anybody to manipulate you, it should be God. Yes or no?
Amen.
I'm almost done. Is that right, brother? Everybody. Is that right? God said, listen, whosoever will, let him come. After you got saved, he never took away the whosoever will. He said, if a man will follow me, be my disciple, let him take up his cross. If. Choice is still yours. You can be a saved individual and not be a Christian.
That's right.
A Christian is a disciple. A Christian says, I'm do what God says.
Amen.
You're not going to hook me up for your stuff if it goes against him. I'm going to do what he says to do.
Yes, sir.
I don't care if you're a preacher. I don't care if you're a pope. I don't care if you're a pastor. I don't care who you are. I'm going to do what God tells me to do.
Amen.
And anybody that goes contrary to what God tells you to do, you know what they are? They got the spirit of Jezebel.
Yep.
They're trying to hook you up. Say, see you later, man. Have a nice day. You've been awful good to listen to me today, and I appreciate it very much. Let's stand together. We'll just be dismissed. Give you some things to think about. I hope that more instructive, you know, that you maybe learned some things.
Good preaching.
Amen.
I hope it helped you. I hope you feel like you got fed.
Yes.
Something you can apply tomorrow.
Amen. Today.
You know what I mean?
Amen.
Something you can apply in life.
Amen.
Not just, you know. And fellas, I want you to know, I